So I just give you a quick update and praise on Mom. So Chris and I were on vacation. Well, Chris and I and the family were on vacation last week, or we got back last Sunday. The previous week, the two previous weeks, Mom been in the hospital for about 14 days. She had a surgery on Thursday. Basically, what was happening was that her kidneys were so swollen and there was inflammation and infection around her kidneys, and they weren't working properly. And I don't know the technical name for this, but they put tubes in the back of her kidneys basically to drain, to get rid of the infection. So she was having this, well, I'll be honest, she's had this problem for about 2 years. And the day of the first surgery, I was there with my sister and dad, and the kidney specialist came in, and he explained why they were doing what they were doing. And my first question to him was, this has been going on for 2 years. Why are we just now seeing a kidney specialist? We've seen infectious disease doctors. We've seen endocrinologists. We've seen cancer doctors. We've seen, I mean, you name it, but we've not seen a kidney specialist. His response was, sir, I don't have an answer for you. So in response to Larry's devotion, bitterness, I was bitter. That was a bitter pill for me to swallow because I don't like all the red tape they put people through. And that's our government at work. That's our insurance companies at work. They have to rule out all this other stuff before they get to the root of things. So long story short, she had the surgery. Her numbers were getting better. We left for vacation Sunday the 26th. Monday the 27th, I talked to Mom, and she said, my numbers tanked through the night. It's not good. I don't know what's going on. So I called Dad, and he said, yeah, they're, who knows? Well, Tuesday I talked to him, and they're rescheduling the surgery that she just had done. They're redoing the surgery, the same exact surgery, 4 days later. So again, bitterness and asking why came up. But this second surgery has worked. Mom's numbers are getting better. Mom's getting, she's been home since I think Thursday, like the 29th of August or July, and she's kind of back to, she thinks she's normal. But, you know, keep her in prayer because Mom's 76 or 77 and thinks she's 35. And she needs to slow down and take care of herself. Instead of worrying about taking care of everybody else, and she needs to let us take care of her instead of her trying to take care of everybody else. So just pray for that. But she is doing better, and we thank God for that. So secondly, I want to announce, remind everybody that the 16th next Sunday night is when the big deal at Northmore High School is, the big worship service. It's family-oriented. Delaney, what time does that start? It starts at 5 next Sunday night. If you, there's flyers back on the table. Keep them in prayer. Keep that whole situation in prayer. In fact, tomorrow night at 5 o'clock at Northmore High School, anybody that wants to go and bathe that in prayer, they're going to have a prayer session / planning session. And if you have any desire to volunteer for the night of the 16th, they would like you to be present so they can pray over you and kind of teach us what how they want us to respond in situations. You know, I said about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, that at Ohio State they were going through a big revival, and they were baptizing people by the thousands. That is what they're planning. That is what they're planning. They're bringing Jesus Christ to the Mid-Ohio community. And it's an event, but it's deeper than an event. It's about Jesus coming in here and taking hold, because we need him. So I'm going to pray over that real quick, and then I'll introduce Canda here. Lord, just I ask your hand to be on everyone involved in that situation with the worship, and, you know, be with the people from out of the community that are coming in to help with this. Be with the organizers and the people, the volunteers, and just give everybody the peace of mind that, to know that your plan is greater than anything we have. Lord, we know we have a vision of what we want this to look like, but don't let us get in the way of what you can really do, because we will sell it short of what you can do, Lord. We just ask you to be in that situation and just take it, and we'll give you all the glory and all the praise through that, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So the other good thing is I get introduced to the speaker today. Canda Benner is here, and her husband, and Canda runs LifeWise through Northmore, or I don't know if that's what it's called, the LifeWise program, and it's the Northmore version of it. You know, I don't know. I know a lot of kids get bused to the program. I know a lot of kids are being told the scriptures and being told the story of Jesus. But other than that, I'm at a loss. Canda's here today. She's going to speak about LifeWays, but she's also here to deliver the message. I think it's important that we understand that God's message doesn't just come through one preacher. God's message is being sent to a lot of different people. And we ask and we hope and we pray every time that we deliver a message that we don't get in the way and we just let God's words come through us. You know, and Dora said to me today, she said, I've been praying for you for the last couple of weeks that God has given you the message. And I pray that every day, that God gives us and lets us be mature enough and responsible enough Christians to know what that message is and just get out of the way, let him work. And I know that's what Canda wants. And so with no further ado, I'll bring Canda up and she can deliver whatever God has for us today.
I don't know if this is on. Can you guys hear me? You can? Oh, wonderful. Okay, I'm just going to talk from here. First of all, thank you for letting me come in. I was here last year and gave you an update. And I do have a brief update. Then I'll go into the message, and then I'll do a call to action, sort of. So Matt introduced me as the Northmore director for Northmore LifeWise, which I am. But I also took over Cardington a couple months ago as well. So I'll be running both programs because Cardington had to pause just because of some issues with no transportation. So be in prayer over that we can get transportation at Cardington. But there's 125 kids at Northmore and 75 kids at Cardington in this community that hear about the name of Jesus every week. And that's so exciting to me because I love the Lord. God is good, right? Before I came in here, you know, as speakers, we're supposed to start off with something fun and exciting. And I was like, Lord, what will you have for me? I will tell you, my grandma used to sing to me that song. And he walks with me and he talks with me. She sang that to me every day. And as soon as it came on, I started crying because she passed away in 2020 at 101 years old. And so I know she's in this room today, but I also know that God is here too, because the speaker that spoke before Matt, and then Matt even touched on this, is that we are to be bold and courageous. And God sends the message to the most unlikely people to deliver the message of Jesus Christ. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that's what's happening in this community. You know, we have the worship night next week, and I would encourage you all to come, not just to come and be in the presence of the Lord, but to pray over the students that are going to be in that stadium. Northmore is going to be filled with lots of students, and we need people of God to be there because this is a movement of God by the people of God. And we need you to pray over them. We need you to show support. We need you in the stadium. So if you don't have anything going on already Sunday, or even if you do, please plan to be there, because we need to see adults, and those students need to see adults in the stands as well. So, Matt, will you quickly tell me how much time I have? 2 hours. Great. Okay. Aaron, give me when I'm 10-minute mark. No, I'll keep it to about a half hour if that's okay. Aaron, if you could just give me a 10-minute mark and then a 5-minute mark, that would be helpful. My husband, Aaron, is here. He's my ride or die, my sidekick. Wherever I go, he goes. Wherever he goes, I go. And when I took over the director of LifeWise, he knew that he was also going to be going a lot. So thank you for being here, honey. I appreciate you. I do recognize a lot of faces in the audience, so it's nice to kind of come here and be welcomed. Let me give you a quick update on LifeWise. We have at Northmore, I mentioned, about 125 kids. We have a bus, which I'll be bringing over next week after the worship night at Northmore, and I'll be parking it in your lot because you guys have a lot of visibility here. I already talked to Julie about that. She's cool with that. So the bus will be here. The kids get on the bus. We pick them up every day. Monday through Thursday is when we run classes at Northmore. One or two grades come every day, or at least every day of the week, Monday through Thursday, but they only come one time a week. So if they're in second grade, they'll only come on Tuesdays. If they're in sixth grade, then they'll only come on Thursdays. So it's not like we are taking the kids to LifeWise every single day. They have important things that go on at school that they need to still do, but we pick them up at lunch and recess, and we bring them to Pleasant Grove Church of Christ, which is kind of around the corner. I did talk to Matt and Jesse and Les a while ago about maybe having Open Arms become a space, but please, Lord, let us get big enough that we could potentially use this space too for classes, right? So we're growing each year. We're anticipating hopefully about 200 kids this year. So I'm really, really excited. They come over, they hear the name of Jesus, they get to eat lunch with us, there's volunteers over there welcoming them, praying over them, having fun with them. New this year is in our curriculum, we built in songs. So the kids are learning those songs that go with the scripture that we're teaching for the day. And as we know, we can remember songs sometimes better than we can remember things that we read. So we're really excited about that. So if you are free at lunch or recess, I would encourage you to be bold and courageous. You're going to hear that a lot in my message today. And come over and just volunteer. You will be blessed, I promise, because those kids love to see when adults are there, and especially when grandparent age people are there, because a lot of these kids don't have grandparents. A lot of these kids don't have men in their life to raise them. So the men, the grandparents are really welcome over there, but anyone of all ages is welcome. We also need teachers at LifeWise. So if we don't have teachers to teach the message, then how are we going to reach the kids? So that's what's going on. Nationally, we hit our 1,000th location. So we are in 37 states now. Last time I spoke, I think we were only in about 25 states. Three of those 37 states are now shall states. Shall is that a program LifeWise shall be in the school district so that parents have a choice to go and send their kids. So Florida, Ohio, and Texas are now all shall states. Illinois is working on that. And then pray over Washington, too, because we're looking at that. Many, many states are a may state, meaning you may have a program, and so the district can choose. But a lot of states are welcoming us, and so we hit our 37th state with 1,000 locations serving over 100,000 students every day or every week. That's pretty cool, right? 100,000 students are going to hear the name of Jesus before they graduate across the United States. In Villain, right? It's so exciting. So I'm so blessed to be able to do this. So with that little update, I'm going to have Julie go ahead and play a video that was shot locally. So you might notice some of the people in the video, and you might notice some of the farmland that's in the video too. But this is the video that we start with when we're going to new churches and they don't know anything about LifeWise. So Julie, it will have a little bit of sound with it. So if you want to put up the screen before you start to play it, that might be helpful. love that. And the little girl that you saw a couple of times in there, Raylan George, she was that girl that started, asked her parents why we didn't go to church. They started going to church, and everyone in her family was baptized. And then several individuals in her extended family were baptized, totaling 17 individuals, because one little girl attended LifeWise and was bold and courageous and asked her parents why we didn't go to church. How cool, right? So that became national, and LifeWise has many, many stories. So after I leave you today, if you want to Google LifeWise and watch a few other videos, there's a lot of powerful stuff that's going on. One guy named Connor went to summer camp that LifeWise was doing. It was an overnight 3-day camp, and he was kind of a big kid that caused a lot of issues for school and had a lot of behavior issues. And so when Connor started attending LifeWise, he kind of calmed down a little bit and settled down and started asking really bold and courageous questions like, who is God? Why am I here? What is my purpose? He was 13 years old, okay? Well, he went to this camp that LifeWise was doing. He was really involved with LifeWise, so involved that mom got involved with LifeWise, but she couldn't come to the camp that week to be a volunteer teacher, so she stayed home and sent Connor with his dad. They're unfortunately a separated family, but sent Connor with his dad and grandparent and uncle to be dropped off at camp, and then the plan was 3 days later that uncle and grandpa and dad would pick him up. But while at that camp, Connor was often seen walking around and just praying to the Lord. And one day he was seen standing out in the middle of a field with his hands held up. And they asked him, Connor, what did you do when he came back in? And he said, I just accepted the Lord as my Savior. Connor's dad and grandpa and uncle came to pick him up. And they got in the car. And this was locally near Findlay, Ohio. And on the travel home, all four of them were killed in a car accident. But we know where Connor is today. We know that Connor is celebrating with the Lord. And that's all it takes, is for you to be bold and courageous and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, come into my heart and I love you. Make me whole again. Make me a new person in you. Tell me what you have for my life. And accept him as your Lord and Savior. You know, it's not something with fireworks or something that has to be big and extravagant. But Connor, at 13 years old, big, 6-foot-tall kid, 300 pounds, did that. And I know where he is today. And that's really exciting. Sorry, I get so emotional, but some of these stories just get me. And so that's why I encourage you to go out to LifeWise and find out more about it. Today, we're going to start off in Numbers. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible, but it's important to understand this, that God uses those ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We'll start off in Numbers and go right into Joshua. I want to start with the key verse, though. The key verse is going to be out of Joshua 1:9, where the Lord commands us to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. We're commanded to be strong and courageous. And as humans, I know, Julie, this is difficult for you because we want to be mad sometimes. We don't want to be strong and courageous. We want to crawl into a hole and cry or yell out. But the Lord commands us to be strong and courageous. And at the end of this story, you will understand why, because there's a bigger purpose for what's happening in each of our lives. No matter what the enemy tells you, stand up to that and be strong and courageous at all times. Because the Lord your God is with you and will never leave you. There is a bigger purpose for what's happening in our lives. The speaker before, who was that? I forget their name. Larry, where are you? Larry, I want to give you a high five because you set this up for me. Right? Moses took the Israelites out into the wilderness for 40 days. You'll hear that 400, 40,000 a lot. Okay? I don't know the significance of that, less you might, because I know you study the Bible much more than I am. But it's like, Lord, why are you using the 4 so much? All right? I don't know the significance, but in this story, it is mentioned over and over. So Jerry, right? Larry, thank you so much for setting me up this so we all know. So Moses is in the wilderness with the Israelites. And Moses said to the Israelites, send 2 scouts to the land of Canaan. I'm giving this land to you. And the Lord says it will belong to the Israelites. So Moses sent out 1 leader from each tribe, just as God commanded. Moses told the men what to do. Go see the land, what it is like, and whether the people there who live there are strong or weak, few or many. Moses had a lot of questions in the land. And is it good or bad? Are the cities they live in camps or forts? Is the land good for farming? Are there any trees? Moses told the men to be courageous. So the men went quietly to explore the land. They were like spies or secret agents. They traveled around the land for 40 days. They cut down a cluster of grapes in the valley under and carried it with them along to eat and sing as they went. They went back to Moses, Aaron, and the Israelites community to tell them what they saw. The land is good. It is flowing with milk and honey. But the people living in the land are strong, and the cities they live in are large and well protected. So they were scared. They were afraid. But the other men disagreed. We can't go up against these people. They are stronger than we are. We look like grasshoppers compared to them. You know, when I read this line, I remember that movie, A Bug's Life. And in A Bug's Life, all the ants had the grasshoppers come in. And I'm like, oh my word, it was biblical, right? But not really, because Disney is a little goofy. The Israelites were afraid and they cried all night. They thought Moses and Aaron had brought them to Canaan to die. The Israelites said, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the Israelites. Joshua and Caleb, who had both scouted out the land, tore their clothes off and said to the Israelites, the land we explored is extremely good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will give it to us. Don't be afraid of the people living in the land. God is with us. The Lord spoke to Moses again. How long will these people despise me? He asked. How long will they not trust me? You know, going out of Egypt and having to cross the Red Sea, he parted that water and they were able to cross. They still are not believing him that God can do miraculous things. God threatened to destroy all the people, but Moses said, please forgive the wrongdoing of the people. I know you are great, faithful, and loving. God replied, since you have asked, I will forgive them. But none of them who despise me will live to see the promised land of Canaan. God said to the Israelites, who did not trust God would face consequences for their sin. They would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for every day the spies explored the land of Canaan, and they would not enter the promised land. Only those Israelites under 20 years old would be able to enter the promised land. All the spies who went to scout the land died of plague except for Joshua and Caleb. Because Joshua and Caleb followed completely what God had decided and told them, they would be entered into the promised land. All right, now moving into Joshua 1. Moses at this point has died. So it's Joshua and Caleb who are leading the Israelites to Canaan. Okay? They become the leaders. And it was time to go into Canaan, the land of God, the land that God had promised them to give Abraham's family. Other people lived in the land, so the Israelites had to defeat them. God made 4 special promises to Joshua. There's that 4 again. I will give you every place you walk. So everywhere they would go, it was going to be theirs. No one will be able to stand against you. So anyone who came up against them, they would defeat. I will be with you wherever you go. Number 3, and if you obey my word, you will be successful. You know, these are good rules for us too. If you obey my word, you will be successful. When we were doing the reading from Proverbs this morning, it was talking about a friend. But in that message, it also talked about for those of us who follow the word and what God is saying, we will prosper and we will be successful. But if we're not reading the word and we're not following what God says, then we won't. And that's a consequence. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. He loves us. But he's putting information right here at our fingertips that we can go to every day. Reading the Bible is important. And the kids at LifeWise learn that. We give them all Bibles when they graduate the second year. So if they attend 1 year and then come back, they all get Bibles when they are done. So that's pretty cool, right? And many of them are reading their Bible. One little girl told me, I put my Bible up on my tallest desk so my little brother can't get it because he rips the pages out of it. She's like, it's my most prized possession. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're like 8 years old, and I love to hear that. So I was like, you keep it up there. But then Julie, last time we came, gave the little brother some books. So I did give him those books. Thank you. All right, so he made those promises. God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua told the people to get ready in the days they would go into the land. While everyone was preparing, Joshua sent two spies to the city of Jericho to check that out. They stayed at the house of a woman named Rahab. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I had never heard of Rahab. But after I read this story, I want to tell you something about Rahab as I'm going through this story. She has a significant role in the coming of our Lord. Significant. All right, I'll leave it at that so you're on the edge of your seat. I know I'm exciting you already, right? Rahab is pretty cool, okay? So they went into the land and they stayed at the house of this woman named Rahab. Rahab, though, lived a very sinful life. I won't say it, but use your imagination. She's single. She's sinful. She has many children. And she does a lot of things that she's not supposed to. There's little ears in the room, I hear. So you understand what I'm talking about? You know what she did? Think about that. She used her body a lot, okay? So God set this woman up to do amazing things. This also shows us that our past doesn't matter once we accept the Lord as our Savior, once we begin to believe. They stayed at the house of this woman, and when the king's men ordered her to bring the spies out of her house, Rahab told the soldiers of the cities that she lived in that the spies had already gone out of the city. The king's men left to go look for the spies in the city gates where they shut them tightly behind them. But Rahab had already hid the men in the roof of her home. She hid them. Now, there's a lot of speculation of what happened, but there is no concrete answer of what they were going through or how long they hid in the roof of Rahab's home. But can you imagine hiding people in your home to get them out of danger? God told the men to ask her to do that, and she did it, okay? So the soldiers got up and left, and Rahab went up to her roof and told the spies, I know that the Lord has given you this land and made us afraid of your people. We have heard now the Lord parted the Red Sea to allow you to cross and destroyed your enemies. The Lord your God is good, and he's a God in heaven, above all the earth and below. Rahab asked the spies to save her and her family when the Israelites would come to attack. The spies promised to protect her as long as she kept their plans a secret. Rahab's house was built into the wall of the city. She let a rope down, a red rope, before returning to Joshua and the Israelites. The spies left Jericho and followed Rahab's directions. Rahab tied a tight rope to her window so the Israelites would know which house she lived in. And after 3 days, the spies returned to Joshua and told them everything that had happened They said, "The Lord has given us the entire land. The people are terrified because of us." The story goes on to say the Israelites were now traveling to the land of Canaan. They packed up everything they needed, tents, supplies, weapons. But the most important thing they brought was the tabernacle. What's a tabernacle? It's a long word, but what's a tabernacle? Anybody know? Exactly. The tabernacle is a place of worship. So a lot of churches are named tabernacle. But any place where you put up, and really it was on four sticks with a tent over top. And only the priest could carry the tabernacle. So in this story, the priests are going to go before the people because God went before the priest. All right? But they were carrying their church with them as they were going into this battle. Okay? So they had this tabernacle. That's important to remember. Soon the Israelites reached the Jordan River. It was wide and deeply flooded at that time of year. The promised land was on the other side, but the river was too dangerous to cross. God gave instructions to Joshua and the leaders. God was going to help the Israelites cross the river. About 40,000 of them all had to cross. The people were told to watch carefully when they saw the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, that they were to follow, but not too closely. They needed to remember that the ark was holy and set apart for God. Joshua said, "Here's how you will know that God will keep his promise to defeat our enemies. When the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, enter the water flow will be cut off. It will stand up in one heap." He did that at the Red Sea. And that information was spreading already across the countryside because Rahab knew about it when she was talking to the spies before they came. If I saw somebody parting water, I'd be like, "Oh, that's the person I'm going to be following." Okay? But they didn't. We'll see what happens. Joshua said, "Oh, wait." The priest walked up to the edge of the river. The people followed behind. Then something amazing happened. As soon as the priest stepped into the water, the river stopped flowing. The water piled up higher and higher, all the way back to a town called Adam. The priest stood in the middle of the riverbed holding the ark while all of the people crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. Every single person made it safely to the other side. If they didn't jump for joy and sing out the praises of the Lord then, I don't know what they're thinking, but I would have been like, "Hallelujah," right? After all the men had crossed, Joshua chose one leader from each tribe. Each man picked up a large stone from the dry riverbed. They carried the stones to their camp at Gilgal and stacked them together. These 12 stones were a reminder whenever people saw them, they would remember how God stopped the river and helped his people. You ever seen stones along the side of the road or close to a riverbed that's been stacked? Or pictures on, I see it on Facebook all the time, where people are stacking stones near water. And I'll tell you, several years ago, I was like, "What in the world are they doing? And how are those stones being held up? Do they have glue on them?" But they're doing this because straight out of the Bible, the Israelites did the same thing. They stacked these stones wherever they went now to remember what God had been doing. While the priest finally stepped out of the river, the water began to flow again, just like before. God had made a way for his people, and just as he promised. All right, continuing on, we're at Joshua 6 now. The people in the land of Canaan were afraid of the Israelites, but they shut the gates of the city of Jericho so no one would go in or out. God said to the Israelites, "I have already given you the city of Jericho, the king and its soldiers as well." Then God gave them a surprising plan. "Move forward. The soldiers and priests will march around the city, one each day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, those priests will march in front of the ark, blowing horns and trumpets. The soldiers will march quietly in the front of and behind the priests to protect them. Do not shout or say a word." So here they are, marching around this city that has big walls, blaring their trumpets, but they're not saying anything. And they're doing this for 7 full days around the clock. I think they were making a circle for the Lord to protect them. You hear about circles a lot in Christianity, right? The Lord was helping them to make those circles. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. The last time around, the priest will blow a horn and the ram's horn. Then all the people must shout, and the walls of Jericho will fall down. The Israelites can then go into the city and conquer it. And Joshua did what God said. On the first day, the people marched around the city early in the morning. 7 priests blew their horns, and 4 priests carried the Ark of the Covenant. Armed soldiers marched in front of the priests and behind the ark. For 7 days, the Israelites marched around the city quietly. God said, "This is now your land. Now move into the city." So the people shouted, and suddenly the walls fell down. The walls fell down. The Israelites went into the city, captured it, and destroyed everything just as God said. Well, Rahab that helped the Israelite spies by hiding them in the soldiers, so hiding the soldiers that Jericho could not find them, then she boldly asked the spies to save her family. She needed them to save her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, and all their families and children. When the city was destroyed so that they could live, the spies made a promise to Rahab. The spies made Rahab a promise. They said she and her family would be safe if she followed their instructions. She must not tell anyone about their plan. She must bring her whole family into her house, and she must tie that red cord in her window so they'd know which one not to destroy. Rahab did all that the spies had asked. Would the spies keep their promise? That is something that Rahab was standing on. After the wall fell down, Joshua sent the soldiers into the city with orders. God told them to destroy everything in the city except for the house with the red cord by the window. When the city was completely destroyed, Joshua sent the 2 spies to find Rahab and her family. They brought her and her family safely out of the city, and they lived with the Israelites. The spies kept their promise to Rahab, and Rahab and her family were saved. Now, you might be sitting there and asking, why is a woman of this caliber being saved? Why her? And a lot of times, as humans, we ask God the same thing. Think about it. How many times have you said, God, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure you're really talking to me? Or, this is a big one, why me, God? And I even said this when I go into churches sometimes. I'm like, I'm just Candace Benner. Like, why me? There are people that are trained to do this. There are pastors who go through schooling to do this. But over time, God is showing me I'm using ordinary people to tell my story. And that gives me strength because I am ordinary. I'm a nobody, but I'm somebody to God. I know He's my Father. And He loves me unconditionally. Rahab believed in God, and she became a part of God's people. She left her old life behind, became an Israelite, and married a man named Salmon. Or I'm sorry, Saul. Is it Salmon or Salmon? I'm looking at you. It's S-A-L-M-O-N. These biblical names. And then there's another one coming up, Moab. Anyways, she married a man named Salmon. God continued to help His people as they moved forward into Canaan. They trusted Him, and He gave them the land that He had promised. Now, let me tell you something else about Rahab. She had genuine faith in the Lord. She became that Israelite. She became a believer. She told the story of Jesus, and she is a great, 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 great grandparent to Jesus Christ. How cool is that? God told her that she was going to be an important piece of welcoming the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, our Father in heaven. He took this woman who had a devious past and changed her completely. And that's what the Lord will do for all of us, as long as you are strong and courageous and do bold action. You know, genuine faith requires courageous action, transcends social status or a troubled past, and brings God's redemption to anyone who chooses to align with him, regardless of their background. Rahab's significance in this escape helped to bring them to this land that God had promised, many, many promises made. And she becomes a very biblical symbol of radical grace and redemption for outsiders. Rahab changed the story. God valued both bold faith over social status, and he rewarded their courageous action with many gifts. You know, when I come into churches and talk about LifeWise, that's what I ask of the church. We need to be bold and courageous. We need to support those programs that are helping the Lord reach these children. When we reach these children, they are changing the trajectory of their family's life. Not just one, but many. We hear stories all the time at LifeWise Northmore and Cardington and Highland and Mount Gilead and Knox County and Richland County and Illinois and Indiana and Kentucky and Texas, California, New York City, downtown New York City. We have LifeWise. Think about that. That is cool, right? Every believer should be supporting this program, because this program is making change. We want to partner with churches. You know, if they come to LifeWise once a week and they're hearing the name of Jesus, they're going to go home just like Raylan did, and those families are going to then start attending a church locally, and then they get more involved. I know Raylan's family, her parents are now, what do you call it? Help me out, Matt and Les and Jesse. What are you guys? For this church. Elders. So her parents are elders of the church. Mom does a lot of volunteering for Solid Rock, which happens every Thursday at a trailer park out near there, where kids also get to come and hear the name of Jesus after school. A lot of people ask us why during school, because that's where the kids are. We want to go where the kids are. We want to be in their lives. We volunteer at concession stands. We're always wearing our LifeWise shirts. So be bold and courageous. If you'd like to be a volunteer or a teacher, we would love to have you come on the team. Talk to me after. It doesn't take special gifts. It just takes ordinary people. Also, we need doers and funders. So if you have the ability to fund our program, I told you last year our program was about $50,000 every year to run. We're at about $60,000 now because it costs $30 per student per year to attend. I'm sorry, $30 per student per month to attend. And so if we have 150 kids or 200 kids, do the math, right? So I'm asking for doers, funders, and connectors. Connectors would be people who know other people that would like to get involved with LifeWise, who want to feel confident to tell the name of Jesus to these students. So if you can connect me to other people, other families, other churches, I would welcome that. I will tell you that we have really good support from most of the churches here in the Northmore District. We have 11 churches that operate in the Northmore District, and 8 of those 11 fund us as best they can. There's just some churches that are a little leery, and we're working on that. Pray over that, that they don't understand really what LifeWise is doing. So just pray over that. Be in prayer that all the churches can support. Be over prayer in Cardington. We have a lot of stuff that we need. We need a bus for Cardington or a shuttle bus. So if you can connect me to that, that'd be great. Because again, God is big and his outreach doesn't just reach Northmore. It reaches across the country. So yeah, the point of the message is God uses ordinary people for extraordinary things, just like Rahab. Many of you may not have a past like Rahab, My husband's father just died this past week. He was very sick, so we're very happy that he's not in pain anymore. But a long time ago, I asked him, you know, if you accept the Lord as your Savior, then we will get to see you again when you pass away. And unfortunately, he said, I just have too leery of a past that the Lord will never love me. And I said, Ed, you are totally wrong, because you are his child and he will welcome you home when that day comes. And so that's what I ask of each of you, is just remember that each of you is a child of God and there is a purpose for you. And whether it's with your children, your family, your household, your community, I ask you to pray about what your purpose is in life and in LifeWise. So thank you so much for allowing me to come today. I hope that message brought some peace to some of you and some, you know, courageous action. And if you have any questions, I'll be available after. So thanks, Jesse, Matt, and Les for inviting me. And thank all of you who do support LifeWise already. I appreciate that.